Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Steve Marks.
And I'm Wade Wagner.
We are joined by a very special guest, Corey Sanders.
Special. That's right.
Who is from the Fabric Controller team in Windows Azure.
That's correct.
And we are going to be talking with him about VMroll.
Correct.
But before we do that, we are, of course, going to cover some news, and then we will wrap up with a tip of the week, also by Corey.
Yes. Corey.
By Corey. Yeah.
It's very mysterious.
Over the top here.
Okay.
Over the top.
We want it.
You did it better the last time.
Is not the show. Okay.
Let's go into the news.
First thing, we've got this blog post from an unknown.
Yeah. Who is this guy? He keeps coming back.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, yesterday we released a new version of the Windows Azure Platform Training Kit.
And by yesterday, he means the day before we recorded this episode.
Yes, that's true. So, this was on Tuesday. We released a new version of it.
It's really important to know which day, because it's the February release, which was released the very last second. It was like 11:59.
Yeah, so that is true. Yeah, so this is the February release, even though we announced it on the 1st of March. So this release has some updates largely having to do with Windows Azure App Fabric. So there was a new CTP in February. This update to the training kit not only updates the portal experience so that it's consistent with the UI, but also at the end of February, we had some changes made that included a breaking change to the access control service that we not only updated the tools, but we provided some documentation around. So so those are the updates that are in the kit this time around.
Awesome. Next up, as pretty much every week, we have yet another node added to the Windows Azure CDN.
I think we're around 62.
Yeah.
62 nodes?
I like that the URL for this page is
20 nodes available.
20 nodes available globally. So the actual number is 24, but I find it suspect that this update was on the 24th, and it says 24 up here. I think it's a mistake. I think it's more like 46 by now.
It's nice to see. Where is this new CDN available?
Doha.
Doha.
I don't know. I haven't been there. Okay. That's enough said about that.
That's great.
It happens like every week anyway. We've got this one about MD5 hashing. Everyone's favorite hobby is constructing hashing by hand MD5 hashes.
That's right.
This was news
Corey,
to me.
Corey does it all the time.
This is an interesting post.
Yeah, this is not news at all in that this feature has been with us since, perhaps the very first Windows Azure Blob API already had this, like pre-release, like CTP version. But basically, Windows Azure Blob supports MD5 hashes in a few different ways. One is that if you supply an MD5 hash as you do an upload, then there's a check on the server to see that actually happened.
Yep.
If you download a blob and you put an MD5 header on it when you uploaded it, that MD5 header will get returned to you again, which means you can check that worked again. There are a few other places. This blog post, we shouldn't rehash all of it, because like all storage blog posts, it's 30 pages long. But it's got a bunch of the things that it basically, there's even some code down here for sort of how you can verify MD5s when you download a blob. It's all pretty much about making sure that the data in transit doesn't get corrupted.
Yep. Great.
So, pretty cool post. Java.
Java.
The next two are actually sort of Java related. Basically, this new SDK for Java and this starter kit, which is at WA starter kit for java.codeplex.com. This just came out and basically just sort of a new version of some tooling support in Eclipse, command line tools now for packaging up Java.
Yep. So then this is some useful stuff. It's done by the Interop team. Mm-hmm. So provides Eclipse support. So definitely take a look at it. It's good. It's a good set of tooling. Whoa!
And this is just some pictures of some people who we just wanted to
share
some pictures. But Peter and Magnus and perhaps others have been doing work to get Neo4j running on Windows Azure. And Neo4j is a Java-based graph database. Hmm. So if you draw a lot of graphs that you use in like your PowerPoint slides, then you save those all in a graph database, and that's what a graph database is for.
Graph database for the detailed explanation.
Yeah, that's totally true. Graph databases are. Oh, is there a cool picture? This is a cool picture.
Yes. Oh, that is a good picture.
Let's make it even bigger. Okay, so graph databases are about this sort of thing, right? Where you have a bunch of different nodes, a bunch of edges. So it's graphs in the computer science sense.
Nice.
And graph databases are all oriented about making certain sort of lookups of like. social graphs are often used as an example of this. So if I want to find all of Wade's friends or all the friends of Wade's friends, I can use a graph database to make those kinds of queries really efficient.
So with Facebook and their social graph API, is that a graph database behind?
Sure. I'm going to say yes.
That's interesting. That's great.
I don't actually know what they use for all that
it
stuff.
It seems like a good use of it, given your definition.
That is where I think graph databases have become very popular for that sort of thing. Yeah.
Excellent.
You clearly know your stuff here.
I definitely do. Yeah. Look, and we're only halfway. This is, I think, the Windows Azure Storage team
just helped to participate in this post.
And wrote on this one because it's really long.
Great.
And finally.
This is awesome.
This is so cool because it says Wade and Steve on it, which
so
I like.
From now on, we will be able to give all of the fans of the show a Windows Azure pass, so that they can get access to the platform for a month. And so you can see what's being provided. 3 small compute instances, a bunch of storage, a bunch of storage transactions, 2 SQL Azure databases, App Fabric, and a bunch of data transfer in and out. So all you need to do is go to bit.ly/cloudcoverpass, and then choose your country and put the promo code in. The promo code is cloudcover.
Yep, cloud cover. Mm-hmm. Any capitalization works.
Yep, it's not case sensitive.
So I'll go here, and I'm from, where's Luxembourg? I'm from Luxembourg.
Oh, you got to enter the promo code again.
Great UI design there.
Design.
And then I hit submit, and then it's going to go,
Well, let's point out.
Wait, it didn't
work. While Steve's debugging this, that one of the values of using the pass is you don't need to have your credit card in order to give this a try.
Yes.
There you go.
Apparently, it knew I wasn't from Luxembourg.
Yeah.
I don't know what I did there.
But give it a try. So if you're watching the show and you haven't gone out and set up a subscription, at least now you can use the Azure Pass and for 1 month get access to resources.
I tried to. I really did go because bit.ly/cloudcoverpass, if that wasn't quite long enough of a URL. So I went to tinyURL, and I tried to get tinyurl.com/... Free subscription to Windows Azure courtesy of the Cloud Cover Show.
Nice.
And tinyURL has a limit on how long, so I couldn't get it.
It wasn't very tiny.
So it's going to have to be bit.ly/cloudcoverpass to do it.
Well, okay. CC Pass was taken. I don't know where
pass.
It goes to.
Credit card. Didn't you try?
I didn't try. So.
I do. That's what I do when I search for a domain and then it's taken. I just visit it. Yeah. I'm like, what is it? I wonder if it's the thing I was going to make.
So, moving on.
Moving right along.
So, Corey, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So, my name is Corey Sanders. I work in the Windows Azure Fabric Controller. I'm a PM in that team, and I worked on a bunch of stuff, but VMroll was one of the big things I worked on last year. So,
single-handedly?
Yep.
Completely on my... No, there were a couple other people.
Take credit where credit's due.
Yeah. Really.
You are responsible for VMroll.
There are hundreds of people on the Windows Azure team, but only Corey worked on VMroll.
Unless you didn't like it, and then Steve worked on it.
Then it was a group effort,
mostly Steve. But if you liked it, it was me. So
what is VMroll? I mean, I think that we've talked a lot about mm-hmm. worker
yep,
role
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
We've talked a little bit about VMroll, but I don't think people yet really have the feel for what is they might have heard VM before,
yeah,
but they don't know what VMroll is.
Well, first, thanks for focusing on something that I worked so hard on in this show in the past. Second,
that's why we did it. It was for your benefit.
I appreciate that. I think the primary use case for VMroll is the way to think about VMroll is really it's no different from a worker role, except you bring your own OS, right? And so a worker role today, you bring your application and it puts it down on an OS that we supply. For VMroll, there are a lot of cases that you may not want to use the OS that we supply, and thus you bring your own OS with the application already sort of installed and ready to go on it. But the concepts of scale out, of consistent imaging, all those things are the same between worker role and VMroll. It's really just where the OS comes from should be the thought.
Yep. Okay.
And so the...
One of the big... The difference between a VMroll and a web or worker role mm-hmm. is about sort of how I get my bits into it. I mean, is that the...
Yeah, effectively, that's right, right? So, what you're trying to install, what you're trying to put on the image that you're going to run in the cloud is the difference between VMroll and worker role today.
Right, yep. So in like a worker role, that's some .NET code that I've written or something
and
else.
And it just drops it in, copies it in, right, and executes it according to the specification in the definition.
And if we need to bring some additional bits to support that app, we can use startup tasks, et cetera.
Exactly.
In this case, there may be some things that either run too long or just cannot be scriptable.
That's right.
And I might want to bake it into into the virtual machine itself.
Yeah, it's, you know, run too long, thus it takes, actually wastes your time to do that as part of a startup task, right? And the guidance we typically give is 5-10 minutes, but you can choose based on what you want to do there.
Right.
You know, fails, things that fail somewhat regularly, right? And even a small percentage of failure, 10%, can have a big impact on your service if you have 100 that you deploy, mm-hmm. right? And so if it fails regularly, you may want to make that clean image that you can deploy. And then the last one is, like you said, the manual interaction. So if there's going to be clicking or any sort of dialogues that you have to go navigate to install whatever application you're doing, worker role isn't really a good choice. You don't want to remote desktop into every single one.
It sounds from that VMroll can do everything worker role can do, except it can also do more, because I can do these long-running installs, I can do that. So, my question is there a reason why I wouldn't just use VMroll for everything? What's the downside?
Are they identical completely?
Great question, Steve. That's really good. So you can, but you don't want to, right? And the main reason why you don't want to is because a lot of the value that we give with web and worker role is that you don't have to care about the OS, right? We'll put the OS down. When you want to update it, we'll just take care of it. We supplied it. We patch it. It's all taken care of for you. When you're doing VMroll and you're so integrated into the actual OS for whatever the reason may be, you lose that capability that we offer, right? And so with that additional application compatibility, you've lost one of our capabilities, which is this auto-servicing, which can get pretty expensive for customers.
So when you bring your own OS, mm-hmm. we don't know which patches to apply. We don't know when to update it.
Correct.
We didn't create that.
Absolutely right. Yep, that's right. It's not our OS. We did not generate it.
Yep. Good.
Okay. Did that answer your question, Steve?
That did answer my question. Thank you, Corey. I think at this point we should probably do a little demo
and show people
how we put these things together.
I would love to do that. We tried to build this in such a way that it was as close as possible to sort of an on-premise image story, right? So the way you build it, actually, we can demo it, but to a certain extent it's all the current tool set that exists today, Server 2008 R2, Hyper-V, right?
Windows I open AIK, up Hyper-V,
right.
You just create a new Windows image.
Exactly.
I probably need the CD or an ISO of Windows to start with
to create
that first image.
That's right. And then, you know, the biggest difference, and you install it, you prepare it, whatever you want to do to it, whether good or bad,
sure.
Think about it. The one big difference is that you're actually, there's a Windows, Windows Azure integration components that you have to make sure that you install as part of that image so that it can run correctly in the cloud.
Right. And this is, in the web and worker role, we have this thing already, right?
It's built in.
A little bit of code that's there that basically does the communication with the Fabric controller.
We built this in. Exactly.
And if you're building your own OS image, then that's what we're going to apply.
That's right. What it's doing, it's like it's checking the health of the system, it's communicating, telling the system who it is and what it needs to do, right? So it's all of that communication that goes on that's built into that.
Since we're not going through the whole process here, one thing I'll point out, the Windows Azure Platform training courses that are online mm-hmm. has a hands-on lab that walks through the preparation and creation of the VMs, mm-hmm. Using Hyper-V and installing the integration components. So you can walk through that process to see all the steps.
There's one big gotcha, actually, that will waste a lot of time if people don't consider it, is the size of how big that VHD grows to. So the standard, unfortunately, in Hyper-V is 127 gig is sort of the default size for VHD. Our sizes that we support are not actually, we don't care about the size of the actual image, we care about the size of how far it can grow. Yeah. So the total maximum size of a dynamic disk, static it's the same number, and it's extra small is 15, small is 35, and medium large, extra large is 65. And the reason we have this limit is simply because we're sharing it on a single physical machine, and so we have to share that space, and it is hard drive space that we're conserving.
Right, the gotcha here. Make sure when you open
don't up hit the defaults when you're creating a VHD, or it will not work anywhere
the
in Windows
is
Azure.
Something you can't deploy. Right?
Yes, that's so right. Sure that's right. So that's kind of a gotcha that people are disappointed in.
Once you've constructed and added the integration components, you also sysprep the machine, right?
That's right. Yeah, you want to do generalize, just like the standard Windows expectations of running multiple instances in a service. You want to make sure that you generalize it before you deploy multiple images.
Yep. Excellent.
I've got a batch file that I'm just sort of
writing.
I'm just writing it now.
It's so easy. It's so easy. We can write it on the fly.
But this is actually these are the commands that you run after you've gotten your image created. I've created a if we go back here, I have both a a regular, this is just basically Windows Server 2008 R2 with the integration components installed and then sysprepped.
Yep.
And then I've created a diff on top of that. That actually has, I think, nothing in it in this case. But
that's where you would install something, right?
Basically,
you want that to be small.
And actually, it's probably, you'd probably sysprep in the diff image is actually the normal thing, I think, because you'd go do your stuff in the, you'd go install a bunch of things or whatever, and you'd want to do a sysprep generalized
of course, at that last step. Yeah, of course.
So it's likely that actually you're, at the end of the diff, you'll have done the sysprep.
That's right.
And then these are actually the commands. There's a utility in the Windows Azure SDK called CSUpload, which is what you use to get the VM image up into the cloud. So this is just literally copying those VHDs from my local machine up to the cloud. I've got, really there should be a third command here, but I've kind of edited these things out. But basically, I'm uploading first the base VHD, then I'm going to upload the diff, and then I've got a command
set parent
that makes sure that those are connected to
it. Right, and then you'll see it, once you do that set parent command, you'll actually see it in the portal show up with the relationship that you've created, right? And so here's the example on Steve's machine where you end up creating the parent here where TechReady image is the parent of the image diff one. And so this is how you can then track who's the diff of what, and it allows you to make those uploads and quick edits happen easily.
Is it worth pointing out real quick that the VMroll is still beta? And it's it's not, is it an open beta now or is it still closed?
No, it's still actually, you'll have to go, we can do it here, right?
I think you can go to home
beta programs.
You'll see active here.
You'll see here, right, this is, that's an awkward zoom, but right, there's a VMroll and the status is active over here.
Right.
It'll start off just saying available. You can check a box, I think, or something. And then it'll say pending. And pending means you're in good shape.
You're in the queue.
That's all you need to do. Once it says pending, you're good. You'll probably wait about a week, maybe, I don't know, what
expectations Corey gets
we want
to
say.
It, right?
That's right.
It's
that's
really
right.
up to Corey.
As soon as this show's over, I can go approve some things.
Right. So make checks payable to Corey Sanders.
That's right.
Then
big ones.
And then it'll turn active, and you will get an email that tells you how to do some stuff on the local machine to make Visual Studio light up with VMroll things, which we could show
now. Let's show that now.
And we get to these actually pretty quickly. We've been pretty consistently within a week or two. We will approve for the most part.
And so we've created an image, we've uploaded the image, but we haven't yet really provided any instructions or service out there to tell it to run that.
Right. That's a great distinction. So the we have a VM images section, and this is really just like an image repository, like a directory, really, quite simply. It's actually using... It's using our controlled storage so that we can manage where that image goes and how it gets used to basically protect you from deleting the image while it's still being booted from. Yep. But it's just sitting in storage. And
I pay for that storage?
You do, actually. Okay. Yes, you do pay for that storage.
You personally.
I do. Yeah.
It all goes
you guys
to you.
Back to me.
So no matter what you guys do, he gets charged. So it's nice, actually. I've got 1,000 of them up there.
A lot of great points on American Express. So.
Yeah. Okay. That's good travel. I like it.
Right, and so that image up there doesn't mean it's running.
In fact, it means it's not running.
Right, it's not running until it's
one of the
roles. In fact,
you want to go back to the image and it shows you the... Yeah, I threw you for a loop here.
No, let's do it.
So you can see here on the... VM images.
Oh, I was already there.
You can see here on the right, the in-use column will define whether it's actually running as part of a service. So this bottom one here is not running in a service. So
TechReady image diff 2 is not being used.
Not being
we
used.
Actually do have something up and running that's using the other one. And so that's why you see.
That's why you see we do have a service
for that one.
Why don't you go back to Visual Studio now?
Sure.
So we've got a blank Windows Azure.
I literally did file project. New, named it VMroll demo, and we haven't done anything
blank
else yet.
Blank slate, just like you. I like that.
Just like me. It's completely devoid of anything.
Anything valuable.
Just a vessel waiting to be filled.
I'm uncomfortable.
So let's add a VMroll, and you do that just like you would add any other role. Let me... do the zoomed in version. Add. No, look, I can scroll. It's all right, guys. And you'll choose new virtual machine role. And this is lit up because I followed the instructions in the email I got that turned that feature on in Visual Studio. So normally you'd just see web role and worker role. The VM role is there because of that. So
and virtual machine role is VM role, just FYI.
That is what the VM stands for. We should have asked that up front.
Yeah, well, I'll do your job for you.
Great. So, new virtual machine role. Now I might have to zoom back out. How do I zoom back out? There we go.
Look at this.
And so this is going to ask, okay, wait, I can zoom back in. All right, so this is going to ask for credentials.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And these are Corey's credentials, which I have on my machine.
How did you get Corey's credentials?
So don't worry about that.
Why not? I also have mine.
He's a vessel.
And that's basically just like if you're deploying, you have a certificate local and whatever.
Right.
It's just the same thing.
Just
authenticating to the portal. And then you pick a VHD, and because I'm authenticated to the portal, it's going and looking up what's there. And so these are the images that we saw.
They're already committed, right?
And we'll choose diff2, I guess, because it's the one
it's the one that's not active.
That we haven't used yet. And save. Does that actually work? Do I have to close it? Sure. And it's done, so we should probably show that. So that's it. Notice that there's no new project here. I think that's kind of what's different about the VMroll is because there isn't a code package that you're deploying like in a worker role or web role. It's just that VHD. The VHD's already up there, so
it
there's
has
no
the code.
Visual Studio project.
Right. Exactly, the code's already there.
Everything has to be in that VHD.
Except the you haven't configured TS at all here, right? So that's
I have not.
Okay,
that is
we
true.
Don't need to do that, but that would
TS,
also be
terminal
included.
Terminal
RDP.
RDP.
Yes.
Yep. RDP
remote
stands
desktop.
For TS.
Yes.
Greek. So what it's done is it's added in. We're zooming every way I know how in this demonstration. In the service definition, so in the CSDEF file, there's a new virtual machine role.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You see the import for diagnostics. That's, of course, optional, just like it is for every role. If we did add, why don't we just do it? Can we, you have to do it from the publish menu, right? But we're going to turn on RDP. We're going to use some certificate I already have. Corey, numlock. Corey is awesome, which is just the standard password I use for all my machines. I can't type it twice, though.
Your fingers just do not want
Corey
to type that.
Corey is awesome.
I think your typing is amazing.
Oh, it doesn't count because it's not a good enough password. All right, I'm going to use a slightly better password. All right, there we go. Okay, did you
feels
see a
like
change back there?
Planned.
Yep.
That was great. So, right.
There you go.
And the only reason I actually wanted to click through this is because I think people just need to kind of get the idea that the VM role is just another kind of role.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so it still has things like modules that you can import. It still has endpoints that need to be declared.
Right.
So one question, when we selected the VM that we're going to deploy, where is it storing that information here within the package?
CSConfig.
Let's show that.
So over here we've got an instance count.
Just
like
wanted to make sure
else.
We demonstrated
and
it.
There's the image.
There's the OS image.
OS image.
And that
yeah.
image refers to, again, your account in the cloud that happens to have that name.
Yep.
Right. Right. And
so this, you can change this and you don't have to change any aspect of your code and it will deploy a new version of that image. Yep.
Right. Exactly.
And you can also increase your
just
instance count. You want to actually go this?
We won't wait around for
just
it to
deploy. Just deploy. Well, we got to like go create a new
app. No,
oh, okay,
And we already have actually pretty
we
much the same
it running.
Thing deployed.
Let's show
let's,
this.
Let's take a look at one running then.
We're there.
We're already there. It's right here. In fact, this picture that I had up at the beginning of the show is actually part of a web roll that is part of this deployment that we've got here. So this Corey deployment. Has a web role, a worker role, and a VM role. Just to, again, underscore the point, the VM role is just one of the roles of your
So is the website running on the web role or
yes.
the Corey?
Yes, it's running, it's running
so what
on
is the
Corey
role
the
doing now?
The VM role?
The VM role?
The VM role is doing
it's
nothing.
Doing a lot
I call
of,
it the
no,
Corey
it's
role.
Doing a lot of processing in
it's
the background.
It's doing nothing visible.
It's doing a lot of processing that the web role is asking it for.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that Katy Perry picture is being generated in the VM role.
Yeah,
one
it's actually right.
It's very comprehensive. A lot of work.
There's a 3D model of Katy Perry, and it's just on the fly.
It's taking a slice. It's really interesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
So
we wouldn't have time
fault
for
tolerance.
That.
Do we want to talk through some good use cases for VM role?
Yeah, I think we should talk
actually,
about
actually. Did you want to show like the scale out and just again kind of emphasizing that it's just the same or?
Yeah, sure. Let's at least open up. So if you
go
hit configure,
there you go.
Just like with anything else. Any other kind of role.
And this is not the service you just built, right? You can
right.
see
right.
that it's,
this
yeah, there's
this
more
is,
here.
It's,
yeah.
it's slightly different, although it's pretty much the same stuff that we had in there. But this has all these settings. Right, this got more stuff because it's got the web role, the worker role. But here you see
we're actually
the VHD again,
one, yep.
just yep. like just in because it's just the config file.
Yeah.
So you could change that here. You could change the instance count.
Yep.
You could go do an update to the web role, but not touch this, et cetera.
Let's just update that.
Do you want to do it?
All right.
Four?
Do it. Yeah.
Should we go
it.
Crazy?
Let's do it.
Because that's like twice as much as there was before. Okay.
And we've recently taken actually a performance fix where all of those will start at the exact same time. So okay. They're no longer serialized. Nice. So,
but I like cereal.
No, you don't need it.
So this is gonna go scale that thing out.
See if it picked it up. It's exciting to watch.
This is exciting.
Spinning,
yeah,
spinning donuts.
Good. I can see you don't want to talk about anything else. You just want to wait and watch the thing.
You know, I'm nervous about what that next question could be.
Okay. Well, we should let's talk about some of the. We'll leave this up here. We can kind of see how it goes, but we should talk about some of the prime
there
use cases for a VM role. Yeah.
So we've now doubled our capacity.
We've doubled our capacity
to build Katy Perry images.
Yes, which is very important.
So why don't we talk through a couple scenarios?
Like, yeah,
I just want to make sure I understand, you know, when I should actually use
VM. You likely do not. So,
so getting back to the VM role example we just saw of you know, these images being processed in the Cori worker or Cori VM role.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I should do is when I build my VM, I'm going to put two, three gigabytes worth of images into it, so that it's part of the OS, right? Yeah. It's on the machine.
How else are you going to get them up there?
I'll create sysprep my machine, and then I will CS upload them.
Absolutely not.
Sounds good to me.
Absolutely not. Come on. Absolutely not. No, you don't want to do that,
okay.
Right? I think that it's really expensive for you to just go that path and then have to manage your own OS and do your own patching, right?
That's true.
It's what Blob Storage is for. Yeah. That's what do
it
that.
Probably put those pictures in Blob Storage.
That's right.
And
especially
go to
Worker Katy Perry.
Okay, I've got it though. All right, here's where you should use VM role. Suppose I've got like a web role, but it writes a bunch of files to the local disk, and I know I'm not supposed to do that in Windows Azure because the web role's got to scale out, runs behind a load balancer. Mm-hmm. So I'll just put in a VM role. And then life will be good.
No.
Everything will just sort of work.
No, that's not at all correct.
Really? I thought that was really good. Like, that's what I've been telling all the customers I talk to.
No.
And that's what I've been saying.
In fact,
please.
The last conference you were at, I think you mentioned that.
No. I was saying that we should do that.
Steve, no. That's completely wrong.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Whoa, what just happened? Cori, what's going
on? Good to see you, Cori.
I must have failed over. I don't know. What were we talking about again?
We overloaded, and now we've lost all the state because we were talking to Cori Sanders.
So this is the other Cori instance.
Now
so
we failed over to Cori Fowler.
Yes.
Who doesn't even know the question we just asked because...
Well, he wasn't here.
He didn't have the state that the original Cori instance had.
Yes.
Which is really the answer to why that is not a good use of the VM role, I ask, because the state is not shared. VM roles are still behind a load balancer.
Yep.
They still need to be stateless. They still need to be scale out.
So if that machine reboots or, you know, your instances, then, you know, we've lost that state. We have no durability in it, so, yep.
But now that we've got a second instance, so Cori, why don't you introduce yourself?
Sure. So my name's Cori Fowler. I'm a Windows Azure MVP in Canada. Actually, the only Windows Azure MVP in Canada.
Nice.
And I work for a company called ObjectSharp, and we're getting into the cloud quite a bit. So,
excellent. Well,
very
we're
cool.
Glad that you failed
nice
over and joined us.
Nice to have you over here.
Yes.
This is Cori is also Syntax C4 on the Twitters. And frequently is complaining that the week doesn't go by fast enough so that he can watch Cloud Cover.
Yeah.
So we appreciate all your support.
If we don't publish at 9 a.m. on Friday, we usually hear from
he
Cori.
He gets really mad.
Yep.
And Cori, I think, is going to tell us a little tip of the week.
Yeah,
and so we're going to need to set that up. So we're going to, as always, ask our wonderful but demented editor, Bob.
I beg your pardon.
Such a great job.
Put something in. He does do a fantastic job. That's why we love him. It's not the demented part. It's the fantastic,
it's the
wonderful
that
part that we love. And so, I don't know. Let's have him just... should we just turn him loose?
Yeah,
I'm so scared
happens.
When that happens.
Yep.
All right, let's see what happens. Here's your tip of the week. And we're back.
Great. So what is our tip of the week?
All right, so our tip of the week, I just did a recent blog post on the perfect development VM role, perfect development VM, and basically one of the pieces there was the throughput analyzer that Microsoft Research did. And that's a really neat tool that you can actually, if you're running on-premise, because Windows Azure isn't an all-in kind of thing, you can definitely just use the storage component.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're using on-premise and you're storing to the cloud, you can use this throughput analyzer to kind of calculate how much data you can send at one time and figure out what what the connectivity is going to be between on-premise and the cloud.
That's really nice. I remember an engagement I had out in Chicago before moving up here, where I was working with a customer to move, you know, terabytes of data up into Windows Azure Storage, and just trying to figure out the best way to optimize that upload experience. You know, minimizing hops, figuring out, you know, the maximum, you know, pipe size that we could get, and that tool wasn't available. So. But it is available now, so we'll provide a link.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the show to the thing. But that sounds good, and you can point it at whichever data. Right, I mean,
you can choose the data.
Well,
center,
you choose the storage account, I guess, right, which is in one of the locations, right?
Yep.
So
that's good. No, that's a good tip.
Very cool tip. Thanks for coming.
And so when you're getting all your Katy Perry pictures uploaded into storage,
yes,
you can figure out the most optimal way.
Yeah.
How many you can push at a time.
Sometimes
really.
You have the option, it can give you megabits per second or Katy Perry's per minute. And so you can actually just set that and get the units of your choice.
Excellent.
On that note,
we'd like to thank both Corys.
We would like to thank both Corys, but unfortunately, there's only one of them here now.
And he has not come back up.
So he's still Fabric Controller's re-imaging the other Cory.
Re-imaged.
But yes, thank you to both of our Cory guests. I asked on Twitter, no one answered, so I'm going to ask you, please tweet to @CloudCoverShow and say which spelling of Cory is better, Corey or Cory.
O-E.
Don't influence everybody.
Definitely.
Like that.
Cory. Oh, come on.
Let us know which spelling you prefer. It has nothing to do with the person, just which spelling.
Right.
And if there's anything else that you would like to see us cover on the show, make sure to tweet us @CloudCoverShow. That should do it. Until next week.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.